growing up, I didn't have a lot of friends. I wasn't exactly known as the popular guy. I wasn't exactly known as the guy that would just go up to somebody and just instant friends. I was kind of the guy that would go up to somebody and they would be like, okay. Kind of the same way that when I greet somebody here for the first time, they're just like, oh, okay. Throughout elementary school, junior high, and high school, I just didn't have friends. I struggled a lot with depression. I struggled a lot with anger management, and I struggled a ton with loneliness. I remember many days spent on my knees asking God for a friend, asking God for somebody who would come alongside me, somebody who would just be there with me, someone I could laugh with or joke with. I just wanted somebody beside me. I would pour my heart out about this to pastors, mentors, and several other people at my church growing up. These people would hear me out. They would pray for me. They would offer guidance. Yet still, I would go through day by day struggling with the same thing, just asking for a friend, somebody who would care for me genuinely enough to ask how I was doing, someone who would care enough to see if there was anything that I needed. I felt ignored. I felt alone. I felt by myself. Which for a kid, you should know, is a very difficult thing to go through when you're seeing everybody and groups of friends. I just wanted a friend. I still struggled. My mentors and pastors and people at my church would follow up with me and ask how I was doing with this. Each time I gave a similar response of, well, it hasn't really changed, but I'm trying to have a good attitude about it. And so they would pray with me and continue to voice their advice and just be with me in that season. Yet still, I would go through day by day asking for a friend. Somewhere along the road, my mind was set at ease and I no longer felt so lonely. I was no longer struggling so much with depression. I wasn't struggling so much with anger management. I knew that the Lord had a hand in it, but I wanted to know what did it. And I couldn't really pinpoint why until while I was in my freshman year of college, I decided to look back at my latter years in high school and see what it was that God was doing. I saw that I had poured my heart out to God, hungering for this kind of relationship, a friendship, somebody that would come alongside me. I saw that I didn't really get that close friend that I was asking for. Nobody really came alongside me in the way that I was asking. But I saw that the prayers I had prayed for were answered in a way that far exceeded what I had hoped for. Has that ever happened to you? Where you pray, God, I want you to do this. And you're so honed in, you're so focused. God, this is what you're going to do. Meanwhile, he's working something over here. See, this is why I want to be careful with expectation. When I'm saying, God, I want you to do something like this. And so you're focused on this, and God's working his miracle over here. If only I had the eyes to say, God, I want you to do this. And I'm just looking, waiting to see what it is that he's going to do. I don't want to miss the miracle. Thank God for hindsight where I can look back and see the work that he did. You see, because I had prayed that God would send someone who would care for me. And he sent the church. I asked for someone who would laugh with me. And he sent the church. I asked for someone who would listen to me and stand beside me. And God sent the church. I asked for a friend. And God sent the church. Being largely a part of church activities and many gatherings all throughout my life, I often wonder what my life would have been like apart from it. I can tell you just from that story alone, it would have been much different. It would have been much darker. A quick look over my life declares to me the importance of the fellowship of the saints, of gathering together, of having community. Imagine what it would have been like. Who would have stood beside me if I didn't have the church? I looked for it in the world. I looked for it in school. I looked for it in various places. I found it nowhere except in the church. Imagine if I had neglected the fellowship of the saints. I question, would I be here today? Imagine if I had forsaken this gift that God had given of the church. Where would I be? Hebrews chapter 10, the writer says in verse 24 and 25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We're gathered together for Jesus, and we're gathered together for one another. This is the importance of community. As I've been preparing for this sermon and studying the importance of gathering together in the fellowship of the saints, I was amazed to find so many incredible reasons on why we should stick together. First and foremost, it is a basic necessity for survival, for us to have relationship with people. It is a basic necessity for survival to have relationship. And it's also an incredible necessity for us to be able to stand firm in our faith. Now, a whole series can be done on the importance of community, but we're going to be focusing in on two particular topics on the importance of community. Community and the gathering together in the fellowship of the saints provides protection and it offers joy. Point number one, the protection of community. Have you guys ever heard of the phrase that there's strength in numbers? It's a very popular one. It's the concept where I struggle with one opponent, two of us can unite, we're a little bit better. Three of us together, oh yeah, we're strong. Get a whole group of us together, we can take it down. You see it all the time in projects that we do around the church. You know, I'm thinking of that screen that we put up there. I'm trying to imagine what it would have looked like if I were to try to put that up by myself. It would have been holes. It would have been horrible. There is strength in numbers. This stands true for the community of believers in our faith. The fellowship of the saints affords protection for one another. We stand stronger together and we motivate one another to keep pushing forward. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." We are called to exhort and encourage one another daily. Why? It keeps us from being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The writer of Hebrews says this after a warning. He starts it off, "Beware." There you go, Halloween message, done. "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." And what's the call for that? Not just to come and get protection from your community of believers. He calls us to go out and exhort and encourage one another. As much as I would love to sell to you the idea that you can just come in and be a part of community and we'll offer you protection. Come on. You come in, we'll protect you. It's going to be a good time. That's not the way that it goes. You see, I'm not just going to come and ask you to come and join for protection. What I challenge you to do is to be the protection. Community provides protection because people are willing to protect one another. It's called love. We are to exhort one another and come alongside each other to keep from having an unbelieving heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says, "Two are better than one, because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up." Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We need to stand together in unity. You know the enemy knows all of this. He knows that we're better together. He knows that we're strong in numbers. He knows what the church is. He knows what the church is capable of. And he knows what you are capable of in the church. He knows the protection that comes with it. He knows all the benefits that go into it, probably better than anyone else here. And the enemy wants to take that from you. The enemy wants to isolate you. He doesn't want you to be with the pack. Ever notice how easy it is to want to be alone? How easy it is that when something gets difficult, when we're stumbling in sin, when things are just hard for us, that we don't want to get with people, rather we just want to try to process it with ourselves and just be alone? Have we ever noticed how easy it is to want to be isolated? For me, it seems as easy as sin. It's the easy thing to do. But is it the best thing to do? No. The enemy wants to isolate you. He doesn't want you to be in numbers. He wants you to be alone. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Peter writes and says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." How do lions hunt? If you've ever seen a video of a lion chasing a pack of gazelle or zebra or whatever else they're hunting, you learn their tactic very quickly. First, they prowl. They sneak. They find their entrance in, and they're pretty good at it. And usually, the gazelle or whatever, I'll use gazelle for the example, gazelle turn, they see, and they're like, "Oh, shoot, look, there's a thing right there." And so they all bolt. And now the lion's on the hunt. No, naturally, you wouldn't expect him to go for the fastest one. Fastest one, just, he's gone. What I find interesting is he doesn't necessarily go even for the slowest one. The lion goes for the one that's separated from the pack. It's an easy target. So the same, the enemy wants to isolate you and catch you off guard. When you're in the fellowship with other believers, they watch out for you. We come alongside each other in that. I've had several times where somebody would point out something dangerous to me and say, "Hey, Zach, watch out, man. Hey, that's a dangerous doctrine. I don't think that you should be playing with that. Hey, dude, that's a bad show. I think that's going to poison your mind. I don't think that you should have a relationship with that person, Zach. That's not going to be good, man. You're falling. You're slipping. You're giving yourself into this." And they've been able to call me out and protect me from that. But I see other people fall into that trap. As they've drawn attention to that thing, I can scoop my boot and get on out of there, but what if I didn't have somebody do that? What if I was a gazelle in the watering hole? Lions prowling around. All the other gazelle finally notice, and there's one guy that peeks up, he sees, he goes, "Hey, yo, Bob, Joe, let's go." They bolt, they get out of there. Meanwhile, I'm stuck in the watering hole, unaware, because it wasn't called out to me. And now I can be caught off guard. But now imagine if I was with Bob and Joe and the other gazelle that decided not to call me out. Like, "Hey, Zach, look, there's a lion coming, man. You got to get out of here." So now I can go too. Imagine if we don't have that protection of one another. Again, I challenge you to be in community, that you would receive protection as God has designed it. But not just that, but that you would be the protection for somebody else. As you are set in your foundation and you are guarded, having a fellowship of believers around you, you have the opportunity to have more than just protection among the saints. So here's all kinds of benefits that come with community. But as we do things God's way, you have the joy of community. We know by the words of Jesus in John 15, 9 through 11, that as we walk in obedience, we are filled with joy. Jesus says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Praise God. As we've covered thus far, it is apparent, it is obvious that the Lord commands for us to gather together and have fellowship with one another. He wants for us to be together. It's called unity, community. But if you're not convinced just yet, let's look at the next verse. Verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And how has he loved us? Personally, intimately, genuinely. He gathers with his people. He's eager for community and wants to be together with his saints. He wants to be in the fellowship of his saints. Jesus goes on as he's saying that. He says, what is this love but for one to lay down his life for a friend? Are you saying that there's even joy in the protection of community, of being that protection where one is down, another comes and takes his place? And that happens in community. And you know what? That was the joy that was set before Jesus, was to be the protection for his saints, an eternal protection, an everlasting protection. Praise God for that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He wants to be with his people. Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Why? Because he's just bound to that? No, because he wants to be with his people. Jesus knows something cool is happening. And he knows he's the cool that's happening. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Jesus wants to be with us, and he wants us to be united. There are several areas throughout Scripture that talk about unity and the importance of it. Now, let me understand you something here real quick. Unity is not uniformity. It does not mean that we are all exactly the same. It's okay to be different. What's important is that we have the love that goes before us, that we can be unified despite the differences that we have with one another. So here's the thing. You cannot have unity if you have separated yourself from those you are supposed to be unified with. You cannot have unity if you have separated yourself from those you are supposed to be unified with. You don't have the joy of community if you remove the unity. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Life groups have been playing such an important role in my life. They've been playing such an important role in my wife's life. You see, when we first came here to Evident Life Church, we had both just graduated from college, moved away from our hometowns, and had no idea what to expect from the future. We're both fairly new here and had wondered if we were going to have as good of relationships as we just experienced in college. For a time, we were unsure of whether or not we would. And you know, we had prayed. The same prayer I remember praying back in high school, God, provide a friend. After some time, little pockets of relationship and community started forming. We got excited, but we knew that there was more to come. And so we were hungry for it. God, come on. Let's see what else can happen. We want these relationships to form. We want to see what it is that you can do, what it is that you can bring. And then life groups happened. Priscilla and I joined in with the Shipman Life Group, unsure of what to expect, but excited to see how it would play out. It didn't take very long before we went from being unsure of the group to feeling like family. We would eat together. We would share with one another and encourage each other and grow together. This fellowshipping together has helped push Priscilla and I further along in our faith, in our marriage, who we are as people, and has challenged us to go out and do bigger and greater things in faith as Scripture has taught us. But they were the ones that drew our eyes to see that. We're confident that the Lord is there as we gather together in his name. When we are in his presence gathered together, the fellowship of the saints, we have joy. We laugh, we joke around, we talk about life, and we do life together. It is relationship. It is joy-filling. It is community. The men's group is the same way. Our Sunday night men's group, man, you get in there, you almost just walk in there starting out laughing. You just know it's going to be a good time. But more than that, you know that you're going to get with the Lord. We're going to get into his word. We're going to dive in deep. This is the fellowship of the saints. It's not just a sit-down, quiet, boring conversation about Jesus and, oh yeah, that's cool, that's cute, that's cute. No, we're having a good time, man. We're having a great time. It's the fellowship of the brethren. We get together. Amen. We have that protection with one another. Being willing to call each other out, the accountability of relationship, and we have joy. You see, our relationship with God is not a solo act. It's not just me and my pal Jesus. As much as I would love to be able to say, it's just you and Jesus, you and Jesus. I was taught, build the cross as you and Jesus, the vertical relationship, and you and others. Love God, love others. How can we do that if we are not together with others? I am a part of a larger body. I'm a part of a community of saints. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are here gathered today. Praise God for that. Gather together. You see, we come alongside each other. We help guide each other. We laugh and enjoy life together. We rejoice together and we weep together. Among all these things, better and greater than all of these things, we glorify God together. That's what it's all about, guys. We give God glory together. We are unified together. You see, I prayed back in high school and asked God for a friend. I had prayed throughout college asking God for a friend. I had prayed when I came here asking God for a friend. And you know what he sent me? The church. And he's given the same to you. You have it right here, sitting to your right, to your left, behind you, in front of you. You have it right here. Take advantage of it. Don't neglect gathering together. This community provides protection. It offers joy and so much more to be experienced with it. Gather together. Enjoy one another. Love one another. And be with each other.